My mind is longing for the darshan of my master. This is Guru Arjan's bhajan, Locha Reha Guru Darshan, on page 166 and 167. Like the rainbird that longs for the raindrop, my mind longs for the darshan of the master. My thirst is not quenched, and I get no peace without the darshan of my beloved saint. O my beloved master, I am ready to sacrifice my life for the darshan of master and the dear saints. I am longing for your beautiful face and the sound, like the birds long for water. Blessed is the place where you live, my beloved Lord. I'm ready to sacrifice my life to meet my beloved Lord. If I don't see you for one moment, it seems like one age has passed. When will we meet, O God of gods? Without seeing the home of my master, I don't get sleep at night, and the night never ends. I am ready to sacrifice my life to get to the true home of the master. Because of good fate, I have met the master who has shown me my immortal God in my own home. I will serve you and not even for one moment forget you. Nanak says, I am your servant. I'm ready to sacrifice my life. Nanak says, I am your servant. My mind is longing for the darshan of my master.
Locha reha guru darshan de thai mera man locha reha. Locha reha guru darshan de thai mera man locha reha. Mera man loche guru darshan thai. Man loche guru darshan thai. Vilap kare chatrak kini aai mera man locha reha. Locha reha guru darshan de thai mera man locha reha. Locha reha guru darshan de thai mera man locha reha. Trikana uttare shantana ave. Trikana uttare shantana ave. Bin darshan santa piyare mera man locha reha. Locha reha guru darshan de thai mera man locha reha. Locha reha guru darshan de thai mera man locha reha. Ho goli jiyo gol gumai. O goli jiyo gol gumai. Guru darshan santa piyare mera man locha reha. Locha reha guru darshan de thai mera man locha reha. Locha reha guru darshan de thai mera man locha reha. Tera mukha suhava se chatun bani. Mukha suhava sahaj tun bani. Chira hoya dik sarang pani mera man locha reha. Locha reha guru darshan de thai mera man locha reha. Locha reha guru darshan de thai mera man locha reha.
Dhanaso de sajahatu vasya. Dhanaso de sajahatu vasya. Mere sa janamita murare mera man lo chareha. Lo chareha guru darshan de tai mera man lo chareha. Lo chareha guru darshan de tai mera man lo chareha. Ik gari nam milte ta kal jug hota. Gari nam milte ta kal jug hota. Hun kada milie priya tud bhagavanta mere man lo chareha. Lo chareha guru darshan de tai mera man lo chareha. Lo chareha guru darshan de tai mera man lo chareha. Mohe renana bihave nindanayave. Renana bihave nindanayave. Vinadeka guru darbare mera man lo chareha. Lo chareha guru darshan de tai mera man lo chareha. Lo chareha guru darshan de tai mera man lo chareha. O goli ji o gola kumai. O goli ji o gola kumai. Tisa sache guru darbare mera man lo chareha. Lo chareha guru darshan de tai mera man lo chareha. Lo chareha guru darshan de tai mera man lo chareha. Bhaga hoya guru santam laya. Bhaga hoya guru santam laya. Prabha avanashi gara mahe paya mera man lo chareha. Lo chareha guru darshan de tai mera man lo chareha. Lo chareha guru darshan de tai mera man lo chareha. Seva kari pala chasana vichada. Seva kari pala chasana vichada. Jananak dasa tumare mera man lo chareha. Lo chareha guru darshan de tai mera man lo chareha. Lo chareha guru darshan de tai mera man lo chareha. Ho goli ji o gola kumai. Ho goli ji o gola kumai. Jananak dasa tumare mera man lo chareha. Lo chareha guru darshan de tai mera man lo chareha. Lo chareha guru darshan de tai mera man lo chareha.
Because of good fate, I have met the Master, who has shown me my immortal God in my own home. My mind is longing for the darshan of my Master. And this is a reminder that 2 weeks from now, the ashram will host a meditation retreat in celebration of Santa Jabe Singh's life. It'll begin Monday, July 3rd, run through Friday, July 7th. Initiates are welcome to attend any of the meditation sittings. The schedules of satsang and meditation times are available in the big house. Local initiates who plan to participate are asked to please use the sign-up sheet at the book table. Let us know which meals you're expecting to be here. And guests wishing to attend and needing overnight accommodations, please let the ashram know as soon as possible. We're continuing in our reading in the book In Search of the Gracious One. And this is in the section entitled The Search Begins, with Sanchi's stories of his searching everywhere, high and low, anywhere that he could find anyone who he thought might be able to show him how to find God. So Sanchi says, "Once a sadhu told me that by blowing the conch, you could get a lot of intoxication, and it was a very good thing, because whoever heard your conch would say, Wahe Guru, or Ram. They would remember God Almighty, and you would get the benefit of that. Well, love is, after all, love, and yearning is, after all, yearning. In my search for God Almighty, whatever I was told by anyone to do, I did that. And so I started blowing the conch. Even a parrot, if taught, will repeat the word Ram, or Lord. When I would blow the conch, there were a couple of dogs in the neighborhood that would imitate me. When I blew the conch, they would also go on making a noise like, like the sound that they heard from the conch. So one woman who was in the neighborhood heard me blowing the conch and heard the dogs accompanying me by making a similar sound. And so she came to me and she said, if nobody else is giving you food, I'll bring food for you, but don't go on doing that. And after that, I stopped blowing the conch. In India, the householders invite those people who leave their homes and go into the wilderness and become so-called sadhus to have food and visit with them. By doing so, they think that they are doing a good deed, and they will get the blessings of God. In the olden days, when these sadhus would go to people's houses to eat food, the householders would make very delicious food for them because they wanted to please God. After eating the food, the sadhus would ask for money to cover the wear and tear of their teeth. They would say, we ate your food, using our teeth, and you should pay us for that. And the householders would also give them money. When I was searching for God, once I was in the company of a man named Lundu Baba, a so-called sadhu, and we were going from one place to another in search of God. Once, when we were in Punjab, we came to a farmer's home and he prepared very delicious food for us. After eating the food, that Baba asked for wear and tear money. The farmer gave 1 rupee to me and another rupee to the Baba. I did not want the money and I gave it to the Baba, but the farmer felt very bad. He said, if this is going to happen, my religious deed will not be completed. Unless you accept the money, I won't get any benefit. I told him lovingly, listen, I'm not after money. I'm the son of a farmer. I have even more wealth than you have, and I can eat any food. I don't have to eat all this good food, but I am in search of God, and that is why I am accompanying this Baba. I don't accept any money because I have a lot of my own. So I'm giving this money to him. That Baba took the money quietly and put it in his pocket without saying anything. I told that farmer, up until now, I have eaten many types of different food, very hard food and very soft food also, but I have never found that my teeth suffered from any wear and tear. I still have good teeth. Once there was a yogi who used to oppose and criticize Guru Amar Das very much. Because the masters are always gracious and forgive their critics, Guru Amar Das invited him to eat with him. But the yogi was so much against Guru Amar Das Ji that he wouldn't accept the invitation. And he said, "What is the use of going to such a person?" Later on, Guru Amar Das Ji announced that anyone who ate in the langar would not only be fed free, but they would be given a lot of wealth. When this was announced, many people came to eat the food, including the ascetic. But he didn't dare come all the way in and eat the food with the other dear ones. He was interested, though, so he started walking here and there, walking here and there outside the langar, thinking that maybe Guru Amar Das would come out and invite him again, and this time he would accept. But Guru Amar Das didn't come out. He had invited him already, but he hadn't come. So what was the use of inviting him again? Guru Amar Das knew that he was waiting outside, but he paid no attention to him. Nobody came to invite him, and he didn't dare come in. But he was attracted by the wealth, so he thought of sending his son. So he sent his son in his place to eat and collect the promised wealth. When the satsangis and others who knew the story saw his son, they laughed at him and they said, "Look at that yogi, how greedy he is." He was criticizing Guru Amar Das on the grounds that he was greedy for name and fame and wealth. But now he cannot control his greed, and he sends his son to take the wealth. Greed is such a funny thing. The so-called sadhus go to people's houses and eat food, and even then, because they're so greedy, they ask for wear and tear money. They find some excuse for getting the money from the householders. Greed is a very dangerous passion, and one must become free from this bad habit if one wants to realize God. There is one sect or path of the Munis in which the followers take a vow of silence and they keep quiet all the time. Even now one can find some people who are practicing that here and there in India. I heard about one Mahatma of that path, that he had not spoken a word for 12 years, and that he was a good Mahatma, so I went to see him. At the time when I went to see him, it had happened that he had asked some rich man to make a house for him, and the rich man was doing that. However, the builders had made some mistake, and something was not right. It had not been done according to what the Mahatma had wanted, and he was very upset. Now, he was a Muni, and he could not speak because he had taken the vow of silence, but still, he was very angry. If he were to express his anger through words, through his mouth, then his vow would get broken. So instead of letting his anger come out through his mouth, he was letting his anger come out through his nose. That rich businessman who was building the house for him said, "Baba, don't you worry. I will get another made for you, and we will repair this." But even though he was not able to speak, still he was not able to contain his anger. When I saw him in that condition, I just wanted to leave. He looked at me, and through another person he asked me why I had come. Such people do not ask anything through the words, but whatever they want to ask from the people, they ask in writing. I told him, Baba, I came to have your darshan, and I have had your darshan, and now I'm going. Guru Nanak used to talk about such people. He said that one is sitting as a muni, sitting as if he is detached from the world, but within his heart, he's moving the rosary of the worldly materials. When Kabir was asked a question about such munis, he said, If just by keeping quiet, one could get God Almighty, then all these four-legged animals who do not speak, and even the dumb people, those who cannot speak, they all would have realized God. And this next section begins with a hymn of Kabir's. O sadhu, there is nothing in hypocrisy. The hypocrite goes in the cycle of 84 lakhs. That is why I say that you should search in your within for God. O my swan, even if you fly without wings or beak, even if I don't see you flying, even if you bring me news from far away, but still I won't believe in you, as there is nothing in hypocrisy. Even if you sit in the cave and I cannot see you, even if you change your body and delude the people, but still I won't believe that you are the real one, as there is nothing in hypocrisy. Even if you burn the fire and sit in it, and I cannot see you, even if you change your body into a tiger and come and frighten me, even then I won't believe in you, as there is nothing in hypocrisy. If you become a monk by growing your hair and sitting in deep meditation, even if you fly in the air and carry your cushion without any support, then also I won't believe in you. By loving the crows, you will not become a swan. Kabir says, when you become one with the Shabad, only then will you become a swan. And Sanchi now says, once when I was searching, I went to a very famous organization that had a very big ashram or spiritual center. The Mahatma there had a very large following. Millions of people went to him. They asked me to sing something from Gurbani. So I started singing this bhajan written by Kabir, which says, O sadhu, there is nothing in hypocrisy. At all these places, those that preach to others, they don't have any peace themselves. The peace is millions of miles away from them. So when I started singing that bhajan over there, they didn't like it, and they threw me out. They only allowed me to sing two lines of that bhajan before they threw me out. If I had not left when they had asked me to leave, it's possible that they would have given me a beating. I told them, you said that I should sing from Gurbani. This is a bhajan written by Kabir Sahib. It is the bani of the masters. But they said, could you not find any other Shabad or hymn from the Gurbani? So what happened was that since they were the hypocrites, they couldn't stand what I was telling them, what I was singing in the bhajan. Since I do not do any hypocrisy, no matter how many times you may sing that bhajan in front of me, it will not bother me. However, if someone is a hypocrite and you go and sing a bhajan about hypocrites in front of him, he will not like it. Instead of becoming preachers to the world, first, we have to become preachers to our own selves. First, we have to make our mind understand. First, we have to rise above the passions and the pleasures. And first, we have to make our soul free from the clutches of the mind. After taking our mind to Brahm, the third inner spiritual plane, only after that can we think about preaching to others and making other people understand. But what is our condition? We have not become preachers to our own selves. Instead, we've become preachers to others. We worry about others, and we have become responsible for them, but we've not taken care of ourselves. First, we have to improve ourselves, and only then can we think about talking to other people about their improvement. Nowadays, it is the time of preaching. Everywhere there are preachers, people preaching to others. They advertise so much in the newspapers and on television to attract the people. They say, "Come to us and we will bring peace to you." You'll find so many preachers all over, and they all put so much effort into attracting people. But what do these people have with them? They've not preached to themselves. They've not improved themselves, but they are inviting other people to come and improve. So I had the opportunity to meet many Mahatmas and many masters whose institutions and missions were very popular and who were very well known in India. When I asked them about their meditation, they had excuses. They either said that they had done the meditation in their previous lives or that they had done sacrifices in their previous lives. Some Mahatmas said that their ancestors had given them this job and given them this power. Before going to the feet of or taking refuge with any master, we need to find out about him. Has he done any meditation? And has he done any sacrifice? We need to know his history, and we need to know what he has done in the path of spirituality to become the master, because in order to become anything, hard work is required. And this is a brief talk that Sanchi gave after meditation on December 16th, 1977, after the morning meditation in Rajasthan. And it's a reply to a question of one of the disciples. Question. Master Kripal wrote once that each one of the five holy names has its own power, influence, characteristics, and energy. Could Sanchi comment on that? In other words, do the names have more than just the power to collect thoughts? Is there some influence on the inner planes that they carry? And Sanchi says, it's like this. We'll take your example. Your name is Chris. You know what you are. You know your inner power, whatever inner influence you have on other people. Chris is your name, but you are something other than Chris also. These five holy names are, in fact, the names of the owners of the five inner planes. When we go within, we meet them face to face, as we're seeing each other right now. Only then will we know their value and influence. It's a very interesting thing that when we are doing our devotion, at the same time that we are doing the devotion of Almighty God, we are also doing the devotion of those five owners of the five inner planes. But these are the lower planes through which we have to go. It is because we have got the higher Shabad, and that higher Shabad is pulling us up through these planes, that we need to do the devotion of these lower gods, or the owners of these planes also. Suppose that we go within to the first plane, and we meet the god who is ruling on that first plane. Then we will know about his influence, what role he plays in our spiritual life, and up to what extent we have to devote ourselves to him, and what good or bad he's doing for us. In the same way, when we go to the second plane and meet the owner of that plane, then we will know about him, what he's doing for us, and to what extent we have to pay homage to him. So we cannot know about their influence or their characteristics until we go within and see them face to face. First, we know each other only by our names, but when we meet, only then we come to know the reality. Just as now you've come to India and you know what the Delhi airport is like, or the streets of India, in the same way now you know the names of the planes and the owners of the planes. But when you go within and see them, then you will completely know about the inner planes through which we have to pass in order to go to our own higher plane. Saints and Mahatmas have perfected these holy names and have met the owners of these planes. Therefore, they go into the higher planes daily without any resistance or difficulty. They just go and come back. So when they go within and their disciples also go within, the master takes the disciple from plane to plane and makes the disciple know the owner of each plane. At the same time, the master tells the owner of that plane, "This is my disciple." In that way, the disciple also becomes free to travel in the inner planes. It's just as if someone is a friend of a king. If he wants to go and meet the king, he can do so without any problem. And if he wants to take somebody else with him, he can take anybody he wants. The masters have perfected these five holy names and are very well acquainted with the owners of these planes. In fact, they are the kings, and one who is following the king has no problem traveling in the inner planes. If we read the five holy names in any book, or if anybody has given us these names who has not yet perfected them, then if we repeat them, it will do us no good, because there will be no charging. Our master used to say that Nam is not only the giving of the knowledge of the words, it is the attention. And behind the Simran which our master gives us, his spiritual power is working. If a general in the army gives an order to a soldier to go and kill many people, he will do it. And the soldier will not be blamed, because the power of that general is working behind the order which he has given. But if that soldier even slaps somebody without the order of the general, he can be court-martialed, because in that case the general has given no order and there's no power working behind it. He has done that action on his own behalf. In the same way, those who get Nam initiation from a perfect master, the master's charging is working behind them, and master is responsible for every deed. Therefore, when they go within, they don't have to face the problems of those who don't have the protection of a perfect master. When the disciple goes within, the master is always with him and makes him meet the owners of those planes, and he tells them, "This is my son. Take care of him." In this context, Guru Ramdas has written very clearly that when the saints or gurus come in this world, they tell their disciples that the messengers of the negative power come to us when we go into the inner planes, and that they come to ask for their tax. Because we are now in the land of negative power, this body is the land which he has given to us, and when we use the organs of sense, we're cultivating that land, and when we get some enjoyment from that, definitely we have to pay some tax for it. Just as when we own land, we have to pay a tax on it, in the same way, because we are in the kingdom of negative power, we have to pay a tax. But because we have the protection of the master, we are freed from paying that tax. So Guru Ramdas says that he is telling his disciples, when negative power's messengers come to you asking for the tax, you should not worry about them. You should follow me, repeating the names which I have given you. If anyone comes to you and asks for that tax, you should say, Our master, who is leading us, he will pay it. And when they come to me, I will take care of it. You need not worry about them. We can know the glory of the master only in the inner planes, when we see how the master works there. So he writes, when describing the inner condition, that when the master takes the disciples near to the place of the Lord of Judgment, he asks the master, You've brought this many people here? Have you paid their tax? Did you settle that? And the master says, All right, you show me your account book, and I will pay. I will pay whatever they are supposed to pay. You bring your book. But when the Lord of Judgment brings that book, he doesn't find any account for the initiates of a perfect master. Because at the time of initiation, the master takes the accounts of the initiates from the Lord of Judgment and keeps them with him. So the Lord of Judgment is surprised when he doesn't find any accounts, and he says, How is this? And then he realizes that these are the disciples of the perfect master who has already paid off the accounts by taking sufferings on his body or by any other means. Because master uses many ways to pay off our karmas. That's why Guru Nanak Sahib says, When the Lord of Judgment comes, Nanak tells him that he had to list all the karmas at the time of initiation, and now he is responsible for every single karma which the soul is doing. At the time of initiation, it is true that the master takes some time to connect the soul to Satchkhand, because negative power still has control of the soul, and it takes some time for the master to take the ropes of the soul from the negative power, which he has hidden, and tie the ropes of the soul to Satchkhand. One who is tied to Satchkhand will sooner or later definitely go there. That is why it's said that you can appreciate the master only when you go within and see him working there, because he works there as nobody else can. The inner path is very complicated, and only when we go within and see him working there for us, only then can we really appreciate the living master. Now we see him as an ordinary man like us, and as such we do not appreciate him fully. That's why master says to take him as your brother, as your father, as your friend. But when you go within and see how the master is working for you, only then can you appreciate and really respect him. Guru Arjan says, I have seen the master, and he is exactly like what I have heard of him. He says that when the soul goes within and sees her master working there, only at that time she realizes, whatever I heard about my master, that he protects my soul in such a way and he works in such a way in the inner planes, truly I see him doing that. And then he says, he unites the separated ones with God. He is the lawyer or advocate in the court of God. Just as if we want to fight any lawsuit outside, we need some competent lawyer. In the same way, our master is a lawyer in the court of God. He helps us in the battle we are fighting with negative power. And that is why he is called a lawyer in the court of God. The negative power gives no concessions. Whatever karma we have done in this kingdom, we have to pay for. He holds every soul accountable for whatever karmas she has performed here. And he requires all karmas which are done in this kingdom to be paid off. Saints and Satgurus are free from all disease as they do not have any burden of karma to pay. Whatever suffering or disease comes to them is only because they take over the karmas of their disciples in their love. Once Master Sawan Singh was sitting in his ashram with two Sikh leaders who had heard a prophecy that Master Sawan Singh would live for 100 years. They asked him, "Master, is it true that you are going to live for 100 years? He replied, "Yes, it is true. I plan to live for 100 years, but only if my disciples let me meditate and do my work as I am doing now. But if they cry in front of me and say, 'We are in pain, we are suffering,' and if they will not meditate and not obey my commandments, there are many possibilities that I will leave earlier, because I will have to pay for all that." And it happened. Those who are meditators and who are going within know that Master Sawan Singh left 10 years early, at the age of 90. In the same way, Master Kripal was also asked the same kind of question, and he replied, "If you will allow me to work steadily, and if you will meditate, only then." And those who are meditators know that Master Kripal left the body 14 years early. One very interesting thing. Once I was suffering from a very high fever, and Master Kripal was supposed to come on the next day. But before he could come, some dear ones from Delhi came to the ashram. And when they saw me suffering from that fever, one of them cabled the master about my sickness. He didn't ask me, and he didn't tell me that he was going to cable the master. And without my approval, he went down to Ganga Nagar and cabled Master Kripal. The next day, Master Kripal was supposed to come, but he didn't come because as soon as he received that cable, my fever went away and I was better. Master Kripal started having it, and it was a very high fever. Next day, that dear one came to me, very happily thinking that he had done a great thing by sending that message to the master. He told me, "I cabled master about your sickness, and now you are free from it." I became very angry with him because I knew that Master Kripal had taken the karma which I was supposed to pay off and that he was suffering from that fever. So I became very angry with him and I asked him, "Why did you do this? I didn't tell you to do it." And I was very upset with him. I told him, "Now Master Kripal will not come today because he's paying off the karmas which I was supposed to pay." And it happened. Master Kripal didn't come on that day. The next day also he didn't come because the fever was very high. And the third day, Master did come, but his face was very yellow because that fever was very high. In fact, it was a very big karma which he was paying off. And when Master Kripal came there, because I had told the dear ones that he was not going to come on that day, but he would come after a few days, the dear ones thought that I was all conscious. So they came to Master Kripal praising me. "We knew that you were not coming because he told us." Master Kripal was very tired and sick and said, "He was telling you that I was not coming, since it is only because of him that this happened." I apologized to the master. I told him, "I didn't want you to carry my karma, but this man went and cabled you." But Master Kripal said, "No, it's all right." So Sant Satgurus are free from all sufferings and disease, but because they are in the love of their disciples, whether the disciple wants the master to take the karmas or not, they reduce the karmas and take over the karma of the disciple. Masters are not bound to the body as we are. They are not prisoners in the body. Whenever they want, they can fly out of the body and leave it, or they can live in the body as long as they want. They are not in the control of death, but, truly speaking, death is in their control. Those who say, Master has died, are in a very deep illusion. They should think, if Master is really subjected to death, then what's the use of going and taking refuge in such a master? We see that he only changes the body and goes and works at some other human pole. In fact, the light which was working with him, working within him, is the same. The practices which he was teaching are the same. Only the body is changed. Guru Nanak said, My Satguru is always residing, always existing in this world. He never comes, he never goes. He is the immortal person in this world. He always remains here. And Guru Arjan Dev Ji Maharaj says, They are not in the cycle of births and deaths, but in fact, they come here only for the sake of others. They give the donation of their own life, and they make the souls meet God. In our final reading, we'll finish the satsang talk that we began last time, Sanchi giving a discourse on May 14th, 1977, here at Santpani. And the talk was called, Who is a Sadhu? And we'll begin with lines from the hymn. This is a hymn of Kabir. The way of the saints is different from the ways of the worldly people. Don't call him sadhu who has adopted the way of hypocrisy. Kabir Sahib says that the way of the saints, the way of living of the saints, is different from the way of living of the other people. What do worldly people do? Even after taking initiation, sometimes they meditate and sometimes they don't. But those who are sent by God only for the liberation of souls, when they come into this world, they do not behave like worldly people. As soon as they find the Master and get initiation, they work very hard to attain that position which they are supposed to attain. It may take them 10 or 20 years, but still, they work very hard because they are preparing themselves for the purpose for which they have been sent into the world. And when they go to their Satguru, when they meet the Master, they go just like dry gunpowder, which, when it's put in contact with fire, it bursts. When they come in contact with their Satguru, they just go up. So Kabir says of one who has not sat for meditation, what is the use of calling him a sadh? And again from the hymn, one who does not collect money and is not attached to woman, Kabir says, I am the dust of such a sadhu. Now Kabir Sahib says, what are the outward signs of a perfect sadhu? The outward signs are that he will never fight for worldly wealth or worldly name and fame. The example of our beloved Hazur stands before all the world. When his master Sawan Singh left the world, he left the Dera, bowing down to that place without fighting for any wealth, without fighting for anything in the Dera. Even though there is property worth millions of rupees, in the Dera. In the Dera of Beas, Master had built his own house, but he left that building also in the Dera. So Kabir Sahib says that he is a sadhu who does not love Maya, nor is attached to woman. When Baba Sawan Singh came to the feet of Baba Jamal Singh, Baba Jamal Singh called Baba Sawan Singh's wife, and told her, Now you have to look to Sawan Singh as a great soul, as a great saint. And the same order was given to Master Kripal's wife by Master Sawan Singh. Now you have to maintain chastity. and you have to look to your husband as a saint. So Kabir Sahib says that the sadhus, the paramsants who are sent by God himself and who attain the position of sadh, are not attracted to the wealth of the world, nor are they attached to woman. He says, if I find such a sadh, I would like to become the dust of his feet. And from the hymn, he who is not happy at the sadhu's arrival and does not weep at his departure, Kabir says, how can such a disciple get liberation? Now Kabir Sahib says that if we find such a meditator sadh, such a perfect sadh, and if he comes to our home or our courtyard, what should we do? Our joy should know no bounds. We should be very happy to welcome him. And when he leaves our home, we should become sad. When people lose their valuable rubies or other precious things, how sad they become. Kabir Sahib says that if we don't develop these two attributes, that when the sadhu comes, we become very happy, and when he leaves, we feel sad, we cannot achieve our goal. When beloved Hazur first came to our ashram, the dear ones sprinkled water all around on the dust, because our land is made of dust, and they covered the dusty road with sheets, so that not even Hazur's car should touch that dust of our area. And when Hazur came there, a lot of happiness was expressed by exploding firecrackers and things like that. When Master came there, he told me that he was not pleased with that. I told him, I understand that you are not happy, but at least look at our happiness, how happy we are. And then he said, yes, all right, I am happy in your happiness. And again, the hymn. After calling the sadhu lovingly, give him bedding and feed him. One who does this is praised while living and ultimately gets high status. Now Kabir Sahib says that if we find such a perfect sadhu, a meditator sadhu, what should we do? Lovingly we should serve him, because serving him we obtain glory in this world, and when we go to the other world, in the court of God, God also gives us much love and respect. And from the hymn, sadhu is my soul. We are the jivas of sadhu. As the ghee lives in the milk, in that way I live in him. Now Kabir Sahib says, what is my relation to the true sadhu? I live in him, just as the butter is in milk. And again from the hymn, as there is ghee in milk, so he is everywhere. You may find many speakers with an audience. Few are those who discriminate. Now Kabir Sahib says that it's not easy to find such a sadhu, but it's very easy to find lecturers or storytellers, or people who can talk a great deal. We can find these people very easily. Tulsi Sahib says that even after reading the four Vedas, the Shastras, and the Puranas, the holy scriptures of the Hindus, even after reading all these holy books with love for God, if our soul is not attached to that Shabad, it's only like that bird which imitates the voices of other birds. And from the hymn, sadhu is such a river whose water is love. Wash yourself there. Kabir says, by coming in the company of a sadhu, one becomes pure. In India, there are many pilgrimages at the bank of some holy river, and people believe that bathing in that river will bring them liberation. But Kabir Sahib says that no water in the world has the power to liberate or purify souls. Water can purify only dirt, outward dirt. He says, what is a real pilgrimage? To enter the company of a saint is the real pilgrimage. And after entering his company, you should wash every single part of the body. And how are you to wash every single part of the body? With the nectar of Shabad Nam. And only after that can you purify yourself, removing all your sins. And again from the hymn, the tree never eats its fruit. The river never drinks its water. In the same way, the sadhu has taken up the body for others. Now Kabir Sahib says that the tree is bearing fruit for the sake of others. The tree never eats its own fruit. Similarly, the river is flowing only to give water to others. The river doesn't drink its own water. Similarly, saints never live for their own self. They live for the sake of others. And from the hymn, seeing the sadhus coming, my body smiled. My problems disappeared, and my eyes fell in love with him. Now Kabir Sahib says that when we are having the darshan of such a sadhu, not only our eyes smile, because they are having the darshan of him, but our whole body smiles and becomes happy. Darshan of such a sadhu, when we exchange our sight, when he looks into our eyes and we look into his eyes, then he will take us to Sach Khand. And from the hymn, at their places all sadhus are great, but one who is the recognizer of Shabad is the crown of all. The sadhus are alike as poppies in a field. Some are red and some are white. Now Kabir Sahib says that the sadhus who meditated and reached Sach Khand are all one. There is no difference between such sadhus. There are two kinds of sadhus. One kind comes directly from Sach Khand, like Kabir and Nanak, and others take initiation from a perfect master and work hard, and with his grace they also reach Sach Khand. But there is no difference between them. They are both one. Kabir Sahib explains this to us, giving a very beautiful example of a field of poppies. All the flowers have the same intoxication, even though their colors may be different. Guru Arjan Dev says, the light is the same, the practices are the same, but that power comes again in this world only after changing the body. And the final lines from the hymn, the sadhu's body is the residence of the formless one. If you want to know the unknowable, know the sadhu. Kabir Sahib says that if there's any place where God is residing, it is the body of a saint. If we want to see God, we can see him only in the body of a saint. There's no other place where we can realize him. Kabir says, one day my mind flew into the sky like a bird and went into heaven. And when I went there, I saw that God was not there, because he was dwelling within the saints. And we are continuing with a talk that Master Kripal gave in December of 1972 at Fort Lauderdale. And this is a talk after the meditation that day. The talk is followed by questions and answers.
Initiate continue to follow the astral form or that of the coming successor. Do all masters appoint a successor?
the initiate who had been initiated by some masters who had left physical plane, but he desires to be initiate forever, never leaves him till the end of the world. So he be connected with that master by whom he was initiated, and for satsang purposes he should attend the other one who is following.
Everybody hear that?
What did Swamiji of Agra smoke in his hookah? Why did Jamal follow someone who smoked?
Why? I think they had to smoke on their own business. You need not smoke. Because I tell you one thing, the man who lives in the snakes, I'll give you an example, who got that incantation power, he is not bitten by the snakes. But all others will be bitten by the snakes. Don't copy him, but do what he says.
Does a doctor assume his patient's karma when he heals them?
If he exerts, then he might contact by sympathy, now sympathy. But if he does his duty in sweet remembrance of God, leaves everything to him, then he is not to contact any karma.
All right. Who or what is the Antichrist?
What?
Who or what is the Antichrist? What is the negative power?
What is in your mind? Which always wishes to be away to the outer things and attached to the outer thing, not bring down from there and have bliss within.
Says yesterday you said that eating wrong foods could cause sickness. The questioner thought that sickness was the result of past karma. Would Master please explain the cause of physical disorders?
You know there are courts, small cause courts and high courts and privy council courts. The small cases are decided in a week or so, or a month. Higher still in months, and privy council case years. So, what you do it here, you have the result of falling in a day or two or a week. That is small cause courts, you see. And the higher courts, that takes time, you see, may be taken to the next birth.
An associate made up her mind to leave the path. Why does this happen?
Because it is in control of mind. It's led away by mind. But you come to a master, as Christ said, Satan wait. Then it's already let Satan come forward, then you must delay your progress.
What will happen to the person, Master?
Who?
The one who left the path.
He cannot go away. He's brought back sooner or later. He may leave, but Master won't leave him. He gives a long rope, of course.
Dear Master, if an initiate thinks he has the need, is permissible to seek the help of an analyst or a psychiatrist or a counselor?
That's if it's physical illness, he might. If he can fully relax and come in contact with the sound principle within, that has got curative power itself.
Says, Master, we are getting married in a few weeks. Would you say a few words about marriage?
Marriage, you see, according to the scriptures, if followed, there is peace. Scriptures say marriage means it is a sacrament, first of all, not a contract. If God is united, that no power disunites. So marriage means taking a companion in life to be with you in weal or woe, and both help each other to know God. That you may have a one duty may be of begetting children when it is wanted. Now it is no machine of enjoyment, you see. Even the married people must have some time in life where they should lead life, chaste lives. After all, they have to go back to God.
Dear Master, is being aware of a person's physical dimensions without desire a delight, a default in chastity? Being aware of a person's physical dimensions without desire, a default in chastity.
I don't follow what is meant by that.
I think this means observing the physical form of someone without desiring them. That's what I would interpret.
Well, that took the man who written it to tell what he says, what he wants.
Who wrote it? Master wants to know
what is driving it.
I'm saying if you're aware of someone's physical form, if you notice their dimensions without desiring them, if you're aware of their body.
If you're aware of the beauty of their form without desiring them, is this a fault? Should you mark as a fault in chastity?
If that affects his low life, why not?
Does Master feel that it is proper for widows and widowers to remarry?
You want my or what scripture say, you see? Scripture all say peaceful life is one for one. And the remarry, read Moses' orders, commandments. You read for yourself. I'm not against what you have got in your customs, but to read Moses' commandments on the subject. Very detailed commandment is given there. You know, the words there are very straight, you know. They say they're both adulterers. These are words used there by Moses. They're only divorced for the sake of marriage. That is not the ideal life.
It's not divorce, widow. If the husband has died, is it all right for the wife to remarry? If the husband, the previous husband, has died.
But that depends on the custom, please.
Depends on the custom.
In each they don't like. How many men can love? Love is not love, it's genius.
While I'm withdrawing from the body just before breaking through, I have a struggle about whether I will make it in my mind. Then often I yawn and what's my attention? My attention is gone. What should I do?
If you leave it, do effortless effort, then there's no problem. If you effort, the very effort stands in the way.
When fixing the gaze, do we look from without into the third eye, or do we look from the third eye into what is in front of us?
I'm not done with this.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Whether we look within or without on this.
Your third eye is the back that's open only when you rise above body consciousness, not before. That opens into the beyond. Outer eye is a different thing.
Your instructions in meditation are to look out, I believe.
In front, that is to save tension.
Yes.
That is to save tension only.
Master, could you state simply long hair on males is a hindrance on the path? I thought we got that one yesterday.
If you are always dressing your hair when sitting, then it's a hindrance. Sometimes I see dog dancers, then again put it at the back. They're not in the habit. When they form habit there, but they're always dressing their hair, I think that will stand in the way. Why not better bind it so that there's maybe no, but that is no law, you see. Hair don't grow long than what is required, nature requires.
During meditation, the eyes drop below the horizontal level. Then the white clouds and colored lights are more easily seen.
See in front, that's all.
See in front.
Maybe this way or that way.
Says here, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and do you believe we are saved by Jesus' shed blood?
All masters who sent by God are sons of God. We respect them, we love them.
Says, I noticed that you and Mera Baba were born the same month and year. Have you met with him? Could you tell us if he was a perfect master?
He invited me when his father's were Jean Edrio, who wrote his life by which thousands were people attracted to him. He was initiated. He was initiated here along with others. Then he came up out here. Then he went back. He invited me to come over there. I did go. He embraced me very lovingly. He said, oh, well, all right, following what he says. And that's all I met him. And he said, I won't die. But he did die, God knows why.
Dear Master, when you leave the room and give your blessing as you are walking out, are you blessing us all equally, or do you bestow a special blessing on those only upon whom you look at individually?
By radiation, who are receptive, they receive more.
Is there a way for us to know if we are above, is there a way for us to know if we are above body consciousness?
That is what you decide when you are not or not. Above body consciousness, you won't think of the world. Do you see the world then? You know whether you are risen above body consciousness, you know. Nobody else will reply to you or testify it. When you see light within, you are cut off from the physical side, the outside. That you know.
And we'll close with Sanchi's bhajan, Terde Prema Bhavade Kita, on page 96. Your love has made me mad. Now I have no control over it. People say that love is easy, but its attack is like that of the tiger. It is the poisonous black cobra. The soul trembles and becomes perplexed. I feel your love in my bones. When I take a step, my heart throbs. From within, the string of love vibrates. The soul dives into the love. Your face is like the moon, and our condition is like the moon bird. The trap of love is very strong. Our soul weeps. Listen, O Satguru Ji Kirpal, what is our conditioning, the suffering ones? Forgive us, O Satguru, gracious on the poor ones. The soul makes this request to you. He who wants to earn the love should first sacrifice his head. Ajayb says, then he gets the darshan of his beloved. So says the Bani. Your love has made me mad. Now I have no control over it.
Tere prema bhavarikita hunako ipeshana jandiye. Tere prema bhavarikita hunako ipeshana jandiye. Loki kende prema sukala eda japata heshera vala. Loki kende prema sukala eda japata heshera vala. Eta naga jarila kala tar tar ruga barandiye. Tere prema bhavarikita unako ipeshana jandiye. Tere prema bhavarikita unako ipeshana jandiye. Tera prema hada vicharke karma utavata dil darke. Tera prema hada vicharke karma utavata dil darke. Andaro tar prema di karke jind pae gote kandiye. Tere prema bhavari kita unako ipeshana jandi. Tere prema bhavari kita unako ipeshana jandiye. Teri surat chanda misal vanga chakora sadahal. Teri surat chanda misal vanga chakora sadahal. Dada paya prema da jal sadi rukura landiye. Tere prema bhavari kita unako ipeshana jandiye. Tere prema bhavari kita unako ipeshana jandiye. Suniyo satguru ji kirpal sada dukhiya da ki hal. Suniyo satguru ji kirpal sada dukhiya da ki hal. Bakisho satguru dina dayal rupai vasate pandiye. Tere prema bhavari kita unako ipeshana jandiye. Tere prema bhavari kita unako ipeshana jandiye. Jera prema kamona chave pela sirnu bet charhave. Jera prema kamona chave pela sirenu beta charhave. Ajaiva darsha piyada pave bani e faramondiye. Tere prema bhavari kita unako ipeshana jandiye. Tere prema bhavari kita unako ipeshana jandiye.
He who wants to earn the love should first sacrifice his head. Ajayib says, then he gets the darshan of his beloved. So says the Bani. Your love has made me mad. Now I have no control over it. May God bless us all.